B-Pod Studios.
As the AEW versus NXT Wednesday Night Pro Wrestling War continues, I thought I'd give you a few quick thoughts tonight. I'm not going to timeline it like I've done the last few episodes where I've done one of these quick hitter podcasts, but here's the best stuff from my eyes of this Wednesday night's edition of the AEW versus NXT shows. I thought the best segment on either show was Cody's promo. And just to be clear, I don't hate Cody. I've just given you my beliefs and opinions on Cody. On Wednesday night, I thought Cody's promo on MJF specifically and Cody's attempt to get him into a match was excellent. MJF said he wouldn't fight Cody, so Cody, on this episode, offered him a truck, a watch, $50,000 cash, or just name his price, which makes me think that when MJF does accept Cody's challenge, which he will, it'll be for Cody's career. Or maybe it's Cody's career versus removing the stipulation of Cody not being able to challenge for the AEW championship. The reaction Cody got did get me thinking about this question. Is Cody the most over good guy in all of pro wrestling? Based on his single arena crowd reactions, I lean towards thinking he is, which makes me wonder if AEW missed an opportunity to make Cody the AEW champion. I still think Jericho should be the AEW world champion, but there's a strong argument to be made that Cody should have won the title at Full Gear. One of my favorite things about NXT right now is how Adam Cole, the NXT champion, has this massive target on his back. Keith Lee, Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor are all coming for that championship. Lee versus Cole, Ciampa versus Cole, Finn Balor versus Adam Cole are all NXT TakeOver main events in the future. There's a real case to be made for Adam Cole to be the wrestler slash superstar of the year for 2019, and maybe I'll make that case in a future episode when we do our year-end show. NXT ended tonight with Lee pinning Cole after a cluster of good high spots by Dijak and some interference from Finn Balor. Again, this is good logical storytelling here, and William Regal announced that there would be a three-way match between Lee, Ciampa, and Balor next week on NXT, with the winner fighting Adam Cole for the NXT Championship on the December 18th episode of NXT on Wednesday nights. December 18th seems to be shaping up for a big night of pro wrestling. Shayna Baszler and the Horsewomen ran into attack Rhea Ripley after a scheduled match with Dakota Kai never started. Baszler said she wanted a title match with Ripley on December 18th. This match between Baszler and Ripley indicates to me that Baszler is going to drop the championship to Rhea Ripley and then end up on Raw or SmackDown in 2020. It would make sense to me that Baszler end up on Raw and have a program with Becky Lynch over the Raw Women's Championship based on the events of Survivor Series and where WrestleMania might be headed. Chris Jericho introduced a new list on AEW, which he's not calling the list. He's calling it the Lexicon of Le Champion. Jericho's Lexicon of Le Champion ran out everyone he doesn't want to wrestle in 2019. He mentioned Jon Moxley a few times. I took that as an ode to the list of 1,004 holds, of course, mocking Dean Malenko back on Nitro many, many years ago, where the armbar kept popping up. Jericho mentioned having one more match on December 18th. I assume it's going to be Jon Moxley, but I feel like that's too soon to put Jericho and Moxley in the ring together. And I also don't like the idea that it's put on free TV, quote unquote. Maybe it ends in a no contest, but AEW's been good about having some type of finish, even if it's a time limit draw, and maybe that's what they do. Maybe they do a time limit draw. They do a 60-minute time limit draw between Jericho and Moxley, and then that leads to a future pay-per-view match between the two. And Jon Moxley, interestingly enough, unbeaten still in AEW. Also on AEW, I thought Brandi Rhodes cut a good promo talking about this Nightmare Collective supergroup. I like the name. One little detail that has always bothered me in pro wrestling sports entertainment is after they cut the promo, they move the mic away from their face and they still continue to talk. What's the point? Use the microphone. Simple. The haircutting and pledging idea, I liked it. I liked it when CM Punk did it for the Straight Edge Society, which at the time was the best stuff on either Raw or SmackDown. AEW still has these problems of audio mixing, which maybe they just bother me because I'm in the business, but it's something they need to figure out how they're going to mix the show. On NXT, they did a promo for the Cruiserweight Championship, and it made me think, why is there still a Cruiserweight Championship? 205 Live has been canceled multiple times since SmackDown moved to Fox on Friday nights. And when you look at the NXT roster, Adam Cole's listed on Wikipedia as being 210 pounds. I don't think he is. Tommaso Ciampa's at 201. Finn Balor is listed at 190, but I don't think so. So those are three of your main event players, and they don't chase the Cruiserweight title. So why is there a Cruiserweight Championship? The Cruiserweights, at the time that they were peaking for WCW Nitro, were a unique entity, and they did things that the main event people weren't doing. Now I feel like your main event players are also doing what are quote-unquote Cruiserweight moves, so there's nothing special about the Cruiserweight division. So retire the championship, do away with it. It doesn't really matter to anybody, or at least it feels to me it doesn't matter to anybody. I am interested in having a once-a-year World Cup of Wrestling as a change from the Cruiserweight Classic and have that as a WWE Network special. Love tournaments, love seeing them, and you never know what kind of talent can come out of it. I'd also like to see AEW or NXT commit to completing a full match for the entire show. Treat matches like sporting events. None of these pitcher-in-pitcher for commercials, but bell-to-bell action, full screen, and then take a break. Unlike pro sports, you can control the match times. I don't remember too many times when Raw or Nitro in the Attitude Era, when they were going head-to-head, took a break during a match. Go back to that style of format. Maybe if AEW adapted that idea, they would change the world like I think they would have hoped they would, but they haven't to the degree that I think that they think that they would have by this point. AEW is still a young company. They need to start doing small things like that differently, and I think they'll make more of an impact. My final thought relates to Tommaso Ciampa, who did a podcast with Lillian Garcia called Chasing Glory, Lillian's weekly podcast. It's a fabulous conversation discussing how Ciampa got to NXT. Ciampa said he wouldn't change his path to NXT, and he discussed how he's an NXT lifer. The big takeaway for me was his reasons why he was an NXT lifer, noting family as being a big part of it. And according to Ciampa, he's fought from being moved from NXT to Raw or SmackDown because he sees himself as being able to have three or four more good years working about 60 dates a year for NXT rather than working 1 year and 200 dates per year. Ciampa feels he's aware of his bump card and how limited it is, and he expressed that to the powers that be, and based on his good relationship with Triple H, they seem to have a good understanding that they would rather have Ciampa for three or four good in-ring years with NXT rather than move him to the Raw or SmackDown rosters and have him work a year at 200 or more dates and possibly shorten his bump card. Mike Riley, Joe Murray, and I will be back next week, and our feature topic will be, unless something else happens, card is always subject to change. It is the holiday season, and we have one wish that we could do to change wrestling. So we will give you our thoughts on that. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.